Once again, good afternoon and a blessed Lord's Day to you all. Before we look into the main text, which our chairman has just mentioned, the main text is verses 1 to 3 and also 12 to 14. I just ask that you allow me to briefly summarize the gist of this chapter, chapter 4 of Zechariah. The essential point of this vision is that God will supply this king by the name of Zerubbabel with the power of God's spirit to ensure the completion of the construction of the second temple. And this is after the Babylonian exile. And then the Lord is assuring him that this construction or reconstruction of the temple, regardless of the opposition and the discouragement that threatens the work, it will be completed as assured by the Lord. The spiritual lesson for us from this vision is firstly this, that the mission of the church and its ministry is for God's people to bear witness for Christ. And this is illustrated symbolically by the candlestick. Secondly, the Messiah from whom the Spirit proceeds is represented by the two olive trees, the work of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, the seven pipes to the seven lamps pictured the inexhaustible supply of oil for fueling the lamp, which is symbolic of the supply of the Holy Spirit, or the strengthening or empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so verse 6 is the key to this interpretation of this vision. And our focus, as I said, is verses 1 to 3 and the and also 12 to 14, and the subject matter before us right now, this afternoon, is the light of God's grace, the light of God's grace, which we can see from this vision. First of all, let us consider, for our first lesson, the lamb which God has provided to light the Son of Man. Verse 2 reads, "The angel said, 'What seest thou?' And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to his seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof.'" Here is a candlestick that must have caught or catch the attention of all who look at it. For it is of very costly material and of unusual form, the work of wisdom. And this is fitted really for the whole place of the tabernacle of the whole Most High. It resembles the candlestick whose pattern Moses received from God. And yet in some respects, this candlestick is different therefrom, as we shall see. Note, very importantly, its position. The position of the candlestick that it stood in the open. Under the old covenant, the candlestick is found where? Within the curtain, where only the priest might see it. And it was hidden from the masses of the people. In the Old Testament era, as we know, the light of God, the gospel, did not yet fully shine among men, and that the fullness of grace and truth had not been yet revealed, seeing that the Lord Jesus Christ had not come during that time. So the seven-branched golden candlestick stood out of the sight of the masses of the people. It is shut in within the veil, enclosed within the holy place. But now we see here, the lamb which Zechariah saw was in the open air. And about this, we are quite sure. How do we know? Because we are told Zechariah saw two olive trees growing on each side of it. It was therefore in an open space. Beloved, today, thanks be to God, the veil of the temple is rent in twain. What was mystery before has become plain to us right now, clear to us. Now we who are the New Testament Christians, we see Jesus, and seeing Jesus, we see a light such as never seen by the eyes of the prophets of old and the kings of old. Though they long to see it, they die without the light, without seeing it, without the sight. Let every Christian believers therefore take care that we keep this lamp in the open, that we be very careful with our Christian testimony. Do not let anyone to shut it up. Let the gospel be preached plainly to the masses of the people. Let the glorious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, be proclaimed near and far. It is our responsibility, and we are called to do so, or commissioned to do so. In every place where you have access to the sinners, to those who are unbelievers, let it be known that there is salvation in none other but by Jesus. All that believe shall obtain the forgiveness of sin. Brethren, let us don't give it up, don't let it down, lift up the gospel beacon that it may flame afar all over this nation and across the sea to other nations. Let the blaze of the gospel light flare up till men and women, young and old, in the utmost part of the earth shall say or ask us, what is this light? From where does it come? And we shall answer, and you shall answer, it is the candlestick of the Lord, once hidden amongst the peculiar people, but now set out before the world in Christ Jesus. Once concealed under the types and figures and symbol, but now made manifest by Christ Jesus the Lord. And then note next that it was a lamb of pure gold. And this is an important fact. We are emphatically told that it was a candlestick all of gold, not some of it. The major vessels of the tabernacle were all of gold. And this indicates to us that the lamb which God has kindled is of the most precious kind. The church which may be said to represent this candlestick is as God has made it, of pure gold. Those who are united together in the fellowship of the church of God on earth shall be a holy people, precious in the sight of the Lord Jesus, as gold is precious among metals. There should be no admixture of dross and tin, no careless reception of carnal man or mere formalists, but those who are elect of God before the foundation of the world, precious in God's sight and honorable. God's chosen should be choice men and women for the glory of God. The lamb which holds the golden light should itself be of gold. The Lord will not use any unholy church, any unholy believers or Christians to be his light bearer. And where there is an apostasy as to doctrine, an absence of spiritual life, and when there is deadness or a defection as to the holiness of conduct, Christ, the head of the church, will not use such a church, lest his own holy name be polluted among men. His candlestick, remember, is all of pure gold. His people, therefore, are a peculiar people, sanctified unto himself, zealous of good works. If any who seems to be religious delight themselves in sin, if believers continue to live in sin, if they fail in purity, they have no power to give light. Because of their depravity, they are as haze that dim the brightness of our shining. Ungodly church are not the candles of the Lord. If men find pleasure in unrighteousness, how can light shine from them while they serve the prince of darkness? It is the mercy of God, brethren, that God has set up a church in the world, which shall bear testimony to his name and shall scatter the light abroad, because his grace makes and keeps it holiness unto the Lord. Let us therefore love the church of God. Let us pray for the church militant, the entire body of his elect, the redeemed of the Lord. Pray the quicken of the Holy Spirit. These are people of God who are quickened of the Holy Spirit, the called ones, the true ecclesia, the assemblies of the Lord. For these are they that are his candlestick, standing in the open, not in the hidden corner, as a what? A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid, holding forth the word of life, that all who see the church in its life and the church in its testimony may see, may behold the light of God. Beloved, let us be that light. The light of the world is a sacred commission from our Lord Jesus Christ to his church. Next, notice, we are told, beside of pure gold, of all gold, this glorious candlestick, all of gold, it is lit with golden oil. Verse 12. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil? Of course, we know in our translation, the word oil is in the italic, which is not in the original text, but the translator has rightly put that in, out of themselves, golden oil. Such is the expression used in our text. At the 12th verse we read, as I read to you just now. And this is referring to the quality of the oil here. It means the very best possible oil in value, in splendor, in purity, in clearness, excellent, beyond all praise. And so this represents that precious doctrine. What doctrine? That golden doctrine. The fullness of the gospel of grace, which keeps alive the light of the church of God. Or it may remind us, the blessed Holy Spirit, who coming into his church and imparting to her that golden oil of his graces and spiritual gifts that enables the church to maintain her brightness of testimony and witness and to scatter her light among the people of the world. The Holy Spirit is also the flame by which the oil is kindled and made to burn and give its light. We will say of this golden oil that it is the truth of the gospel, the living and incorruptible word of God. This is the oil which the church must burn, and with this she must trim her lamp. No strange doctrines, no vain traditions, no scientific conjectures, no poetic musing, no thoughts of man, no devices of human brains, but the revealed word of God, the truth as the Lord Jesus Christ has given it to us, the truth as the Holy Spirit has revealed it in the Bible, the truth as he brings it home with divine power to our understanding and our conscience. This it is that we must use, the Christians. We must take care, brethren, that if we have it, we empty it ourselves into the golden pipes, that they may never be without sacred oil to keep the flame alive. Precious beyond all conception is the truth of God. Brethren, take care that we do not allow any falsehood to come into the church of Christ. Let in only let in only the unadulterated olive oil of revelation. Never tag with the wind of public opinion, but watch and keep out of the church every false doctrine. And this is particularly so the responsibility of church leaders. And let us all together contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And then moving on, in our second heading, we shall consider the instrument or the instrument provided for this lamb. We can also say the apparatus provided for this lamb. If you notice, it was a candlestick all of gold, and then what? With a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps. To the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And then what? Two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and then upon the left side thereof, meaning to say the left side of the bowl. We do not read anything about pipes and bowls in the old temple lamp. I suppose that each one of its seven lights had to be fed distinctly and separately by the officiating priest with a separate portion of oil. But in this case here, in this lamp, there seems to be a bowl on the at the top of the seven branches, into which, interestingly, very brilliant design, if you want to look at it, on the top of the seven branches into which the golden oil first entered, and from which it flowed out again, and thus each of the branch lights was fed. At any rate, you see that it is a complete system, a complete apparatus was provided, and it is described. The details are given here. The pipes and the bowl and so on were all arranged with exquisite precision. And so here, the spiritual aspect or the spiritual lesson is correspondingly in the church of God, in the church of Christ, we ought to pay much attention to details in our various ministry. Every member of the body of Christ has a responsibility, has a duty, has a role to play to keep this candlestick in proper order. I have something to do with keeping this lamp burning. I have some responsibility in this aspect, and you have some responsibility in that aspect. One member may be compared, as it were, to the bowl because he yields much, or he gives much light or from his intelligence and instruction, and he has the spiritual gift of teaching, communicating knowledge and counsel to the people of God. Another is a pipe to the Sunday school. And yet another pipe runs to the Bible study ministry. And one is a pipe to the needy and the sick. And another is a golden pipe to those who are at home, who are homebound, who cannot come to church with their families. There is some point to which each one in Christ, each member in Christ's church may help to conduct the golden oil to keep the blessed flame of truth ever burning in this dark world, that it will not grow dim. Let each member of in Christ's body have his own office, even as each pipe has its own oil to carry to the one light of the candlestick which it had to supply. Do not get out of your position, brethren, where God has placed you. Do not interfere with other people's service. Do your own work and see that it is well done by the help of God, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And then look all over the church and pray that the Lord Jesus will supervise the whole thing, the whole work, so that the golden bowl and the golden pipes may all be in full operation as one system, not alone, not individual. We ought not to be slack in our labors nor fall short in our equipment. The everlasting gospel should be published with great energy and zeal and varied ministry. You see, brethren, little oil will mean what? Little light. Little grace will mean little work for Jesus and little glory to his blessed name. Therefore, let us endeavor to make every arrangement in the ministry of our church more effective. Be it our aim to keep the seven pipes constantly flowing and feeding so as to convey a sevenfold measure of oil, that the light may burn steadily on from hour to hour till the Lord Jesus comes to receive us, or till he calls each one of us home. The next lesson from this vision is that this instrument or this apparatus still further suggests to us the idea of unity. As I said, it is one whole system, and so it suggests the idea of unity. Though there are seven distinct lights to the lamp, and this could be individually filled, but here they are all one. One bowl is filled with oil, and from it the oil runs down the pipes to each of the lights. So is there unity in the church? We all suffer if one suffers. We are all the better if one member is in a prosperous condition. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Every member of the church of Christ who does not grow in grace, who is backsliding, who does not grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, weaken and impoverishes all the rest in some degree. We cannot deny that. It's unavoidable. It will affect the rest. If one suffers, if one goes down spiritually, it will affect the rest. We act and react upon each other. Let your grace decline and your prayerfulness be restrained, and the pastor and the member will suffer loss, and his ministry will bear funereal evidence that the Spirit of God is not witnessing mightily amongst us. So instead of one enriching the other, we may, by sinful neglect, brethren, mutually endanger our spiritual progress and prosperity. May it never be so with our church, New Life BPC London. But may we ever prove ourselves to be a warm-hearted, loving, prayerful people who are so glowing ourselves that we warm up those that are cold and kindle a fresh life in those that are expiring or discouraged. Then, if we do so, the whole congregation be consecrated to God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ brighten us all, then we are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and then we can minister. And then the minister, the preacher, can never be dull and drowsy. His heart will be encouraged and will be aglow with sacred fervor. And his preaching will not be dull. Will be resplendent with divine light and fire from the throne above. May we pray that the Lord be gracious and merciful to help us to do this, that we may consecrate ourselves to God and seek for the Holy Spirit's blessing and help. The pews also will respond to the pulpit. Fire will kindle to a flame, and the flame will kindle fresh fire. Vitality, spiritual vitality, will promote revival. Our tone will be spirited and inspiring. The force of sympathy shall be felt. Oh, again, may this be so for our church, New Life BPC London. are you, brethren, committed to Christ and his church? Remember the unity of the church, for with all its many pipes, it is still but one candlestick. And then thirdly, our third lesson from this vision, the mysterious supply that kept these lamps burning. Did you notice that? The most significant disclosure in this vision was the mysterious supply that kept these lamps burning. Notice that there are no priests. No priests to fill the oil, to trim this lamp, nor is there mention of anyone being appointed to keep them in order. No mention of that. Which was done in the past, in the Old Testament, during the Mosaic time. The priest has to do all this. And here, no golden snuffer, no golden dishes were used, nor was any oil brought by any living man to replenish them. And this is remarkable. Moreover, notice also that there is no mention of oil given by the people. Just like in the Old Testament, they come to the temple to offer their sacrifices and the people bring the oil. The lamb in the temple in the past was fed by the offerings of the people. They brought the best oil to keep the lamp perpetually burning before the altar. The priests are not allowed to let any of this lamp to be snuffed out. They must keep it burning. There is nothing of that kind here in this vision. That is not the way by which this oil gets to the lamp in the vision before us. Neither by priests nor by people is it supplied. But then how? How did the oil supply to the lamb without any of this? Well, it is simply by this. A natural process without any machinery. Why? For there are two olive branches. We read here, two olive trees by it. One upon the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. And these trees in this vision empty the golden oil out of themselves through the two golden pipes, and so the marvelous lamp is kept supplied. It is a very singular picture which is now before us. Oil flowing directly from the living tree and at once creating the light. No one need to go and harvest the olives, press it, get the oil out, and then supply to the light. The tree itself directly supplying the oil to the lamp. Therefore, we are shown here that the light of God is not dependent upon human will or human skill. It is a very apt illustration of the text we are reading just now, which lights up the whole chapter, and that is where? Verse 6 of chapter 4. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by your or my grinding our oil by laboriously turning the mill of our study or study of theology, or your a contribution of our money, nor by our eloquence and logic, but by divine agency shall living men be raised up, and through this living man shall come the golden oil of grace, by which the lamp of testimony shall be kept bright, and the darkness of the world shall come, or shall be overcome. So when we first look at this, the first sight of these two trees, these two olive trees, it may appear to us to be inadequate. Why two? You see, for God to make two olive trees grow by the side of the candlestick seems at first to be a deficient arrangement. But not. not for God. God, in his wisdom, he knows. Two is more than enough. We are shown here Christ, the head of the church, keeps his church burning and shining without man's help, without mechanism. He simply raises up men of his choosing. Perhaps only two, sometimes more, who live and grow and in their life. And remember, just a quick, this thought just came to my mind. Just 12 apostles. And they turned the world upside down with their gospel of Christ. So he simply raised up men of his choice, perhaps two, as I said, perhaps more, who live and grow, and in their life and in and growth, they bring forth by God's grace, as from their very hearts, that sacred truth, the holy oil with which the Lamb of God is kept burning. The two olive trees may represent, in this case, Joshua, the high priest, which we have read in the preceding chapter, concerning his filthy garments. Remember, he was taken away by the Lord, and he was clothed with a change of ribbons. And then here, this is referring to King Zerubbabel, of whom we read in this chapter that what? That his hands had laid the foundation. That is concerning the building of the second temple. And his hand shall finish the house. But here, notice that these two men whom God strengthened and enabled to set up a standard because of the truth. The Lord qualified them, strengthened them, empowered them by the Holy Spirit to do the work, to build the temple that God might be glorified therein. So of these two men, you may notice two things. You may wonder, first of all, how is it that God speaks of them as keeping the lamp burning? How are they going to do it? These two men. The answer is this. Look at verse 14. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. First, remember that they are able to do so or do this work because they stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Then, so those whom God chooses to do his work stand as his servant in his sight. They could do nothing of themselves or by themselves, but their testimony comes from God and their unction is of the Holy One. And they are clothed with divine energy. Otherwise, they would be weak as the rest of their brethren. Then secondly, they have been what? Anointed. They are said to be anointed ones. We have no power to pour forth oil till we have been ourselves anointed. It is not possible that we should feed the holy light until God has worked in us the will of his own spirit. These men are said to have been filled with the Spirit of God, according to the sixth verse. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. You will always find this, that when God chooses men to do his work, he makes it obvious to everybody that these men are nothing. They are but just men, weak. The frailty of the earthen vessel is made evident. For what purpose? So that the excellency of the power of which is of God and not of them may be more conspicuous. So it is with God's word, God's work. For he will have it known that it is not by charm of eloquence, by fantastic speech, nor by force of reasoning, but by his Spirit, that he operates with resistless power. One thing more prominent and unmistakable about these two men, and that is this olive tree men, you can call it, that fed the lamb and kept it burning. They all ascribe their success to grace. For it is said that when the top of the stone, or rather when the top stone of the temple should be built. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace. And so they ascribe all their success to grace. If any souls are saved, remember, brethren, it is always by the ministry of grace. Not because of your good work, not because of my good work, not because of our eloquent speech that this person became a sinner. If souls are saved, it is always by the ministry of grace. Whatever else is left out in a soul-saving testimony, there must be a clear ring as to grace. Election by the grace of the Father, regeneration by the grace of the Holy Ghost, remission of sins by the grace of God through the atoning blood of Jesus, grace beginning, continuing, and perfecting. I like the word grace, even when it is coupled with an adjective and spoken of as sovereign grace, free grace, effectual grace, and all those whom God will bless must be men and women that love his grace and feel his grace and preach his grace. And for this is the very essence of the golden oil by which the lamb is tripped. In closing, this man, rather, should I say, these trees emptied out the golden oil out of themselves. They did not make the golden oil. It came into them by the miraculous power of God. The process was beyond nature. Man cannot create grace any more than trees could prepare oil of themselves. Olive trees cannot distill oil without a press. Nor can man be the means of grace to others unless God shall cause them so to be. And then they empty themselves to be or to a good and gracious purpose for the glory of God. Brethren, if you want to know how to be useful for the glory of God, one of the things that is absolutely necessary that you empty yourselves out. Self-denial. Do you expect to give anything to another person without losing it yourself? You will be mistaken. Take it as a general rule that nothing can come out of you that is not in you. And as a next general rule, that it takes something out of you to give something to the other person. If you have not 10 talents to boast of, take the one talent you have and use it over and over and over again, and you will make far more of it than if you let many talents lie still and rust. Take care, therefore, that you are actively earnest in the cause of the Master, in the advancement of the gospel, and make sure, take care that you are doing that earnestly for the Master, and a blessing will surely come out of it. Therefore, brethren, if you have light, let it shine. If you have grace, endeavor to impart it. The Lord has blessed you with many spiritual gifts. Ask him to bless you more by his Holy Spirit. Let those olive trees yielding abundance of oil be your model, be a pattern for you to follow or imitate, that your lively vigor may prove of lasting eternal value to the church, so that the Lord be with you henceforth and forever. May the Lord bless us in the hearing and the receiving of his word. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we thank thee for this lesson that we have learned, and we pray, Lord, that you will help us Lord, help us, we pray, for we are weak, and oftentimes, O Lord, we find ourselves down and out and have no strength of our own to produce that oil that will light the lamp. And so we pray that, your Holy Spirit will fill us more and more, will empower us. And in this new week, O Lord, we pray that thou will go before us and go with us and strengthen us and empower us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may live our lives that glorifies thy holy name. That, Lord, others may see Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven. Help us, empower us indeed by thy Holy Spirit. Fill us with that oil of your Holy Spirit, that we may be light of the world and salt of the earth. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.